Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. The bigger picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Money FM 89.3. And you know, we've been following the developments in China very, very closely. And when China announced earlier this week that it was stepping up efforts to get more elderly people vaccinated against COVID-19, it was perhaps a further indication that it's laying the groundwork for moving away from harsh zero COVID-19 policies. The question is, though, what does all of this mean for China's reopening?
Yeah, there have been some encouraging signs towards that scenario. Mm-hmm. You talk about the vaccination push. You've also now got a top official just using softer language when it comes to describing what's happening with the approach towards COVID-19, dropping terms like dynamic COVID zero. So some market watchers are looking into the lines between those words to say, hey, maybe that is a signal that they might be starting to think about reopening soon enough. And you have to also bear in mind that it's been quite a rollercoaster ride when it comes to sentiment, because coming out of the weekend, we had those anti-COVID restriction protests spilling onto the streets, and then that was pretty much wiped out by the police presence on the streets as well. So that's something that we have to keep in mind. It's been so volatile for Chinese markets, but in the past few days, we've seen a bit of a bounce. Let's unpack it with Mitul Kotecha. He is the head of emerging markets strategy for TD Securities. Morning, Mitul. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
Hey, lots of headlines out of China. There's also discussion about them discussing a fourth COVID booster shot. So there's been some optimism around the reopening prospects for China, but you've been quite measured so far when it comes to pricing it in. Have the latest headlines been able to move the needle for you?
Well, I think it's still going to be very slow and steady. China still has a problem in terms of elderly booster vaccinations, although there have been some encouraging noises on that front recently. At the same time, the efficacy of Chinese vaccines is still questionable. And also the ICU spaces, bed spaces, is a question. So I think anything will still have to be reasonably gradual. But the problem, I guess, has been that COVID cases have now increased across cities and provinces over all of China. I think around 85% of cities now have recorded cases. It's very difficult to put the genie back in. And I think in reality, that means something has to happen in terms of a gradual opening. Obviously, we've seen the protests as well. So I think, yeah, we will see more opening, but I still think it's going to be very steady and very gradual. The last thing that China will want to achieve, policymakers will want to see, is a sharp increase in COVID cases and obviously pressure on health facilities.
Yeah, talking about policymakers, what else can they do to help revive the consumer confidence? Because we are seeing the latest numbers painting quite a soft environment or soft backdrop, with the latest numbers around China manufacturing hitting 7-month lows, that PMI number coming at 48 versus 49.2 in October. We've seen the property rescue package recently. Is there more that they need to do in order to just bring things back to where they were?
I think there's a few areas that obviously are concerned. The property sector is clearly a major concern. Again, there have been measures to try and boost the property sector and provide liquidity and funding loans. That all is starting to filter through. But again, I think without any large-scale stimulus, it's going to be very hard to turn the economy around. For example, exports had been a big driver of growth through COVID, but exports are slowing and unlikely to pick up soon. And so, again, I think it's going to be very, very difficult to turn the economy around and boost growth significantly in the months ahead.
Yeah, and we've seen the IMF talking about the likelihood of having to trim its China growth forecast again this year. And this seems to be a very similar tune there. A lot of people are saying, hey, the growth in China this year is going to be lower than expected. How is this going to affect the regional markets as well as what's going to be playing out for the coming year?
I think that's right. Growth, our forecast for growth this year is 3.1% in China, picking up to about 4.7% next year. The problem, I guess, for economies in Asia is that those that are trade-driven, Singapore to some extent, Taiwan, Korea, for instance, are going to be under more pressure through weaker trade with China. We've already seen that in a lot of trade statistics in recent months, and I think that can only get worse as the US and Europe slow further. And I think, therefore, the trade-driven economies will probably fare worst and be impacted most by a slowing Chinese economy. And probably worse is the fact that any stimulus in China is going to be very domestically focused and probably wouldn't filter out to the rest of the region, unlike in the past. So unfortunately, I think it still bodes well, bodes badly for much of the region as Chinese growth slows.
Yeah, Mitul, one of the headwinds that many of these emerging countries have been facing has been the strength of the US dollar. In recent months, that has been gaining strength. But in recent weeks, that seems to be moderating, with the dollar index in the past month down 5%. Walk us through what's happening to the US dollar and where's the momentum taking the US dollar into the coming year?
I think the dollar will weaken in the coming year, and we've already seen some significant pullback in the dollar. It's still questionable how deep this pullback extends in the near term. Positioning has already been pared back. A lot of this weakening in the dollar has come via a less hawkish Fed. And we had Powell overnight, for instance, highlighting again that the next move in rates will be of a lower magnitude, we think 50 basis points. So that's fed into a threw us off the dollar. Obviously, a weaker dollar, if we're correct, in the next few months will help Asia bonds and help Asian currencies. After the beating they've taken this year, it could also help to see a return of capital come back into Asian markets in the months ahead. So a weaker dollar will certainly be beneficial for much of this region.
Yeah, talking about currencies, what's your outlook for commodity currencies with what's playing out in the backdrop? China getting weaker and, of course, the risk of a recession around the corner.
That's right. I think commodity currencies will probably not fare that well. Clearly, a weaker China is already having an impact on commodity prices. And so I think to some extent, you've probably got to still be very cautious on some of the commodity currencies. This region, obviously, likes the Aussie dollar, for instance. Unless we do see any significant stimulus or turnaround in China, it's hard to see how commodity currencies can gain significantly in the months ahead.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out for those potential catalysts out from China. We've been chatting with Mitul Kotecha. He is the head of emerging market strategy for TD Securities. Mitul, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.